There's an amazing mashal from Yaakov Galinsky, who was one of the great Magidim of Yerushalayim until he passed away in 2014. He said there was a Jew who was collecting tzedakah, and he's standing on a street corner, and he's not doing so great. People give him a quarter, maybe 50 cents. He hears that there's a fellow down the block who somehow is able to get dollars from people. So he figures, I need to learn this fellow's secret. So he goes down the block, he asks this guy, I hear you're doing okay with your tzedakah business. How do you get dollar bills? So he says, you're not dressing the part. You have to wear, you know, it's to look a little more rebbish, maybe something a little bit longer, maybe your hat should be a little more up, you know. You have to look maybe like a chassid, then people will give you a little bit more. Okay, so the guy changes his outfit, and he starts to look a certain way, and he's getting dollar bills. He hears that there's someone on the next street corner over is getting $5 bills. $5 bills? Who gets $5 bills? So he goes down the block and he asks this fellow, he says, how do you get $5 bills? I hear you get $5 bills. So he says, I'm a convert. I'm a ger. I converted to Judaism, and the Torah says in many places you have to love the convert. So when I tell people I'm a convert, so then, you know, people are merciful, people are kind to me, and they give me $5 bills. Okay, so this guy starts going around, he's telling everyone I'm a ger, he's getting $5 bills. He hears there's another guy who can get in $10 bills. $10 bills? How's this guy getting $10 bills? So he goes and he asks the fellow, he says, I hear you get $10 bills. He says, yes, of course, because I'm a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov. When people hear that, how could they allow a descendant of Shem Tov to be standing on a street corner asking for money? So this guy thinks to himself, he says, I'm going to make a killing. I'm going to find a way to get the most out of anyone. He takes a big piece of poster board and he writes on his big poster board, I'm a convert to Judaism, a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov. And he didn't get a penny. Although I told this story the other day, and someone said, well, the truth is, from his mother's side, from his father, I said, okay, fine, good, you can work it out. For those who are alumdanim, you can work out how he could be actually a convert and a direct descendant of the Baal Shem Tov. Fine. But the point Rav Yaakov Galinsky was trying to make, and the context I heard this mashal originally was in the context of Chodesh Kislev, in the month where we celebrate Hanukkah, is that sometimes if you try to be too many things, you end up becoming nothing. That's a lot of what the Greeks were trying to do. Tonight is not a Hanukkah shir, but it's a good way to just contextualize sort of the feeling that a Jew has to have during these days ahead, where we have to make sure we know what is it that we're fighting for, what is it that we stand for, and make sure that we're not spreading ourselves too thin, or that we become so conflicted to the point that we end up being a whole lot of nothing. A life of a Torah Jew is about consistency, it's about stability, it's about spending my lifetime learning Torah and performing mitzvahs and trying to iron out some of those contradictions of my life. This morning, when I went to Davin, they asked the Gabbai asked, is there a Kohen here? I was looking around for a Kohen. I was standing next to my uncle. My uncle says, no, Mish, you're not a Kohen yet? I said, no, Uncle Alan, I'm still not a Kohen. But the truth is, we're all Kohanim. The Torah refers to Klal Yisrael as a Mamleches Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. And in a certain sense, what's true about Kohanim is true about all of us. So I want to begin just by sharing a delicate point about a Kohen. I call it delicate because, again, we live in very sensitive times. And we're certainly very sensitive to people and their physical handicaps and difficulties. But the Torah, in my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, in Parshas Amor, in source number one, tells us very clearly that a Kohen who has certain physical disformations and disfigurations, what we would call a mum, a blemish, Lo Yikrav is not allowed to be involved in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. I'll just mention parenthetically, since we are sensitive, and certainly we don't want to disqualify someone we would think. We judge someone so superficially by their physical appearance. So Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, in his commentary on Chumash, says, it's not really about us. Obviously, we, the Jewish people, pride ourselves on becoming sensitive and never, God forbid, judging someone by their physical body that God has given them. But we're concerned that the nations of the world are going to look at our priests, our royal class, so to speak, working in God's house, and they're going to say, oh, look, this guy who unfortunately, you know, couldn't do anything else, he became a priest. So in order to show the world that our strongest, our most physically fit, because that's what the world is looking at, not what we're concerned about, but because the world is superficial in that way, and the world judges in that way, so for the presentation of the world, we need to have very able-bodied Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash. Parenthetically from Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. But in the list of the mumim, in source number one, it says, a person who has a mum, lo yikrav, ish iver o fiseach, o charum, o sarua. What is a sarua? So Rashi comments in source number two, based on the Medrash, that it's a person whose limbs are not equal in length or in proportion. Rashi says, "She'echad me'ivarov gadol mechaveru," that one limb is larger than the other. Or, for example, "Eino achas gedola ve'eino achas ketana." Person has one very large eye and a small eye. "Oshoko achas arucha mechaverta," or one of his legs or his thighs is very long, and the other one is less so. Rav Herschel Schechter once mentioned, he was recalling the time, that he was at the hesped that Rav Nissen Alpert gave for his Rebbe Muvak Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he said, Rav Nissen Alpert said, in describing the godless of Rav Moshe, Rav Nissen Alpert said, "I've met certain Rabbanim over the course of my lifetime, my career, people who sometimes are even considered gedolim, who in my opinion suffer from the mum of sarua." What does it mean, the mum of sarua? What is the spiritual concept of this mum? That one limb is larger than another. You can have people who are very meticulous in certain areas of halacha, but they don't keep the entirety of the Torah. You could have so-called experts in certain areas of Torah, people who are experts in kudshim but don't know moed, people who are experts in hilchos Shabbos but don't know hilchos chol hamoed or taras hamishpacha, right? People who are experts in medical ethics, as I've heard of Schechter say many times, you can't just be an expert in medical ethics. Like the Tosefta writes in Sanhedrin, the whole Torah in its totality is one big sugya. And therefore, Nissen Alper was lamenting the fact that some people are spiritually sarua. They're not proportionate. Their body, so to speak, their spiritual limbs are not properly aligned. And Rav Nissen Alper said, the only God of the Torah that he ever met in his life, who we could say was mamish perfect, in terms of his shmiras hamitzvos, diktuk halacha, mastery of all areas of Torah, was Hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein, zecher tzadik levracha. So we see as a goal, if we're mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, if we're also to speak Kohanim, then we need to be balanced people. We need to make sure that we're not trying to be both a ger and a einikel of the Baal Shem Tov at the same time. It's not balanced, it's not honest, and it's not what we're trying to do over the course of a lifetime where we're trying to live a life of consistency and remove those contradictions from our life. What's a piseach? A piseach in the Pasuk? A person who's lame. A person who's unable to walk normally because of either a leg injury or some type of blemish with which they were born. And where do we find the concept of Pisayach? Also, again, as a machshava, in Malachim Aleph and Perak Yudches. Malachim Aleph, Perak Yudches, in source number 3, when Eliyahu is standing on Har Carmel, he gathers people together. And he challenges the Nevi'ei Baal. It's 450 verses 1. 450 Nevi'ei Baal, if I remember the Pesukim correctly, versus one courageous Jew, Eliyahu Anavi, who says to the people who are gathered to watch this great showdown, who do you follow? Do you believe in Hashem? Do you believe in idols? And Eliyahu says to them in a very powerful sentence, he says to them, "Ad masai atem poischim al shtei hasi'ipim." How long are you going to be poischim? How long are you going to be skipping? And right, the way that a person who's a fiseach, when they walk, there's an irregularity to their step. So Eliyahu says to them, how long are you going to be skipping back and forth between the two sides? What does that mean? He says, some of you believe in Baal and you believe in Hashem. That's a contradiction. You can't live like that. You can't believe a little bit in idols and believe a little bit in Hashem Echad. How can a person live that way? And he says to them, Im Hashem ha'elokim l'chu achrav. If you believe in God, then go all in. Be sincere about it. And if you believe in Baal, v'im ha-Baal, l'chu achra. If you believe in Baal, if you believe in idols, then worship that idol completely. And the people didn't know how to respond. V'lo anu ha'am oso davar. It's very interesting. If you just think about it for half a second, what is Eliyahu Hanavi suggesting here? Is he really encouraging people to pick a side, and one of the options is to pick Baal? Is he really saying that it's better to pick Baal and be sincere about the worship of Avodah Zarah than to spend your life trapped in the middle? Apparently the answer is yes. The great Rosh Hashiva of Kamenitz, Rav Baruch Ber once said this in the context of criticizing a certain yeshiva / university that I'm happily employed by. In the biography of Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, it just says he was critical of a certain yeshiva in America. There's other svarim, I have a sefer adam called Shimush Chachamim on page 317 to 320. It tells the story a little bit more open, and it's obvious who he's referring to, but he was critical of those people who were trying to have mastery of a college education and Torah, and he thought it was a contradiction. And he said, Eliyahu is saying, pick a side. If you want to be a professor, be a professor. You want to be a doctor, be a doctor. You want to be a college student, be a college student. You want to be a person who is sitting in yeshiva, so be sitting in yeshiva. Right? Again, we may or may not choose to agree with that hashkafa, but Rav Baruch Ber looked to this pasuk and said, if a person tries to be a little bit of everything, a little avodah zarah and a little worship of Hashem, you become a whole lot of nothing. And therefore, yes, Eliyahu challenges the people, and they don't know what to say. Yes, in a certain sense, it's better to worship Baal wholeheartedly than to spend your life somewhere trapped in the middle. I want to show you a quote from someone who I think is a very balanced source, a very balanced person. Rabbi Dr. Shlomo Zalman Breuer, passed away in 1926, was married to Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch's youngest daughter, Sophie. We're talking about a person who was from that world of Torah im Derech Eretz. And yet people sometimes make the mistake when you talk about Torah Umada, Torah Derech Eretz, modern orthodoxy. Whatever your hashkafa is, a Jew can never be striving to be average. Meaning if you have a certain derech, be awesome about that derech. Be passionate and driven in that derech. And Rabbi Dr. Solomon Breuer, in an essay called Join In with the Estrog, an essay on Sukkos, that was printed in the more recently published Mo'adim Perspectives, from the world of Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch and his disciples and followers, he writes such a strong thing. Shmuel, I was thinking about you in our conversation earlier this week when I put this piece in. Look what he writes here. This is a person who was a doctor. He went to university. But he was a person who understood that striving for average is not, have a shita, whatever it is. You want to be a rabbi, doctor, gavaldik. But do it the best you can. But a person who's wishy-washy is the most dangerous thing in the world. And that's, again, that's where you end up with nothing. That's the mashal of Rav Yaakov Galinsky. Pick who you are. Are you a ger? Are you a descendant of the Baal Shem Tov? If you try to be something which is utterly contradictory, you end up with nothing. Look what he writes here. It's so powerful. It's a little harsh, so I apologize if it's too strong for anyone. But it's very powerful. The pathetic middle-of-the-road philosophy is just the opposite of sincere adherence to Torah principles. The Torah tells us, Tamim tiyah im Hashem Elokecha, Parsha Shoftim. Be wholesome with Hashem. We usually think of that as a pasuk in bitachon in Hashem. We think of that pasuk telling us, don't go to palm readers and don't go to psychics. Trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu wholeheartedly. That's how we usually understand the pasuk. But tamim also means to be what? To be a complete person. Yaakov ish tam. To be a wholesome person. What does it mean? This great principle underlies all Torah precepts. Being a Jew means total dedication to the realization of the divine will. Again, Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, there may be different ways to serve Hashem. But I have to be a person whose goal in life is to be an Evan Hashem. Being a Jew means total dedication to the realization of the divine will. It is simply not acceptable to stop halfway to the goal, in the middle of the way, and claim that one has reached the goal. In order for our service of God not to deteriorate into an absurd caricature of the truth, we must not rest until our lives are lived wholly with Hashem. The middle of the road propaganda is fatal. When people try to negotiate too much, right, you end up with nothing. It claims countless casualties. It leads so many Jewish men and women to complete estrangement from genuine Judaism. When you start to negotiate with halacha, and you try to water it down, and you try to make Torah appealing, as if it's not inherently appealing, if it's not appealing, it means you don't know how to teach it. They have to come up with some funny way to teach it that contradicts the standards of what Torah could be or should be. He says that's a tragedy, and people get lost in that. And with this introduction, we now turn to our parsha. Because what was bothering Rivka Imenu? Rivka Imenu was having a very difficult pregnancy. I want to learn it b'derech hapshat, and then I want to show you how it ties into the theme that I'm trying to develop thus far this evening. Right? Rivka and Yitzchak are davening for a long time, that the ultimate paradigm of a couple who know how to pray together, to pray for one another. Again, Chazal say, based on the Pasuk, that Yitzchak was maybe answered more so than Rivka, but it's a package deal. And my father would tell you that Yitzchak plus Rivka is Gematria Tefillah. They're the ultimate couple of Tefillah, and their Tefillahs were answered. And now she's pregnant. The children are thrashing, Yaakov and Esau are thrashing about inside of her. And she says, if this is so, Lama ze anochi? What's she asking? Why do I exist? And she went to inquire. She went to the Beis Medrash of Shame to find out what's going on. Right? What exactly was the problem here? What exactly was so troublesome to Rivka? Rashi says in source number 6, Vayisrotzesu al karcha chamikra zeh omer dorshein. This pasuk needs, we need the drasha. We can't, something, like what, meaning what's the chiddush here? A pregnant woman is uncomfortable, that's a chiddush. She never heard of the curse of Chava. She didn't know that being pregnant is uncomfortable. That was a big chiddush here. That now she's complaining, lama zeh anochi, why do I exist? Something's hidden here. It's hidden in the pasuk. What exactly is the thrashing about? I mean, is this just a baby kicking in a mother's womb? I mean, that's typical stuff. Because of Imkain Lamaze Anochi, what was she asking? Rashi explains, Imkain Godol Tsar Haibor, if pregnancy is so painful, Lamaze Anochi Misava Mispalalis Laharayon. Why did I beg so much to get pregnant? Really? That's really how you want to learn it, Rashi? That Rivka Yimeinu was complaining because she's a little bit uncomfortable in her pregnancy. So now she's regretting that she davened so hard to have a child. She would have rather been a barren woman and be a Jewish mother without Jewish children. Yeah, one of the Imos. She could become one of the Imos without having a child. She doesn't want to have children. What? She's suffering. It's a little strange. She didn't know pregnancy was painful. Again, what's going on here? And everyone jumps on this Rashi. So Rashi himself told us, you need the drasha. Okay, so let's see the drasha. I edited it out. Let's put it back in now. Source number 7. Rabbi Hoseinu Darshu. Rashi quotes the Medrash. I can't explain pshat, so I have to use the drasha. What was the ritza? What was the kicking about? Kisha haiso veres al pischei Torah shel shem ve'ever Yaakov rotz u'mefarches letzeis. When she would walk past houses of Torah, scholarship, and learning, so Yaakov was eager to leave the womb to go to learn in yeshiva. And when she was overes al pischei avodah zarah, Esav mefarches letzeis. Okay, how does that help? At this point, she doesn't know what's going on exactly. So the babies are kicking. So they're kicking a lot, is that what it's saying? It's particularly strong, the kicking, so now she regrets becoming pregnant? That's what Rashi wants to tell us. There was definitely something unusual about her pregnancy. The Mefarshei Pshat say, take a look at Ibn Ezra, for example, in source number 8. Vayisrotesu milashon merutza. Vehi shala linashim. She went around and asked other women, is this normal? Meaning there's a normal threshold of pain that a woman who's pregnant goes through. But she had a feeling with her, you know, female instinct that this is not normal. Something's off here. So she went and she asked around. Vehi shala linashim. She yelled to women who have given birth before. Did you have such intense kicking inside of you when you were pregnant? But Tamar Nalo, and they said to her, no. This seems a little extreme. The way you're describing it seems a little extreme. And therefore, Vatomar, Imkena Dover Vahaminog, if the minog is that pregnancy is a little bit painful, and my pregnancy is very painful, so now B'derach HaPshat, we understand her question. Lama ze anochi? What's with me? Lama ze anochi beherayon meshuna? How did I end up with such a strange pregnancy? Is it because I had to wait so long to become pregnant? So now something is unusual? Right? Okay, that's Ibn Ezra. That's Pasha Pshat. She asked around. She found out that this is atypical. And she was wondering, again, she's wondering out loud on the pages of the Chumash, why is my pregnancy different? But again, I don't know. We like to imagine Rivka Yimeinu is such a person who, you know, wouldn't complain necessarily. She would appreciate the bigger picture of the blessing of becoming pregnant. And she wouldn't complain even if she's experiencing abnormal discomfort. So what is she so worried about? If one looks at the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, I'm jumping ahead just for a moment, we'll come back to the Ramban. But if you turn to source number 10, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh quotes Rashi and he says, I don't get this Rashi at all. Rivka Yimeinu is disgusted by her pregnancy. Lama ze anochi. She's complaining to God, why am I so different? It's very, very hard to imagine that that's what was actually happening with some level of Rivka Yimeinu. And therefore the Orach Chaim suggests, making it more painful and maybe more human and more realistic why she would complain, Orach Chaim writes where it's bolded, Achein pshata kosuv hu. Vayisrotesu lashon ritzutz. What does ritzitz mean? The way that other mefarshim explained, a lashon of like shattering. Something was really, really broken. Something was really off. Perish hayu nidchakim biyoser kashir. It was. There was such a tumult inside of her. She misroitzitzim v'lo yiskaimu b'me'ah, and she was worried that she was going to lose the child. She said, "This isn't normal." And now I have a taina on God. Because after all the davening, you finally got me pregnant, God. Now I'm going to lose the baby. I'm going to have a miscarriage. She said the amount of thrashing going on inside of her, this child's not going to make it. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, if so, perish. She pointed to herself and said, Lama Anochi Hara. She pointed to her womb and said, What is this? What is this, some kind of sick joke? I davened, I begged, I prayed, I finally get pregnant, and now this whole thing is larik yagati, all my efforts are in vain? And therefore, teilech lidrosh es Hashem, what did she do? Teilech lidrosh es Hashem doesn't mean she went to find out from the prophet what was going on, but teilech lidrosh es Hashem, she went, like the Gemara tells us, when someone in your home is not well, what do? You ask tzaddikim to daven for you, and that's what she did. Either she went to daven, or she went, if you say like Rashi, she went to the yeshiva of shame, she went to ask a tzaddik to daven on her behalf, because she's terrified. She thinks she's going to lose the child. And perhaps she's even thinking that maybe she herself is going to lose her life. Let's turn back to the Ramban now in source number 9. Okay, so we've seen Rashi, we've seen Ibn Ezra, we've seen the Orachayim HaKadosh, and now the Ramban tops it all off. The Ramban writes, he quotes Rashi, he doesn't like it. He quotes Ibn Ezra, he doesn't like it. V'anachon be'enai. Ki amr im kain. And I would say the im kain here is maybe in the way of the Orachayim HaKadosh. If my child is not going to survive, yiyeh li lama zeh anochi ba'olam. The thought of losing this child is so painful for her that she says, I would rather not exist. Halavai eineni. I wish I wasn't. I wish I didn't exist. Sha'amus o shalo hayisi. I'd rather die, or maybe I'm scared I'm going to die. Right? She's scared the pregnancy is going to kill her. I'd rather have never been alive than to go through this and to end my life in such a tragic way. Quoting the pasuk in Iyov, Ketam kasher lo hayisi ehaya. V'teilech lidrosh es Hashem. He quotes Rashi that she went to find out what's going on. But more simply, lo matzati drisha etzel Hashem rak lispal. So she went to daven. She's really scared for her life. She's scared for herself. She's scared for her child. She doesn't understand why she's been cursed with such an abnormal pregnancy, like Ibn Ezra told us. But my friends, what was really bothering Rivka? Now we come full circle. What was really bothering Rivka? You know what scared Rivka? You know what really, really, really scared Rivka? You see, at this point, until she comes back from the yeshiva of shame, she doesn't know how many children are inside of her. We know, and the Mefarshim say when it says Vayisrotzitzu Habonim Bekirba, it's saying Al Shema Osin. We know in the end it's going to be two kids, two children, Yaakov and Esau. At this point, she thinks maybe it's one child. And this one child is kicking when I walk past yeshivas, and the same child is kicking and all excited when I walk past houses of Avodah Zarah, and that's terrifying. She's scared that her child is going to be someone who what? Who travels what Rabbi Dr. Solomon Breuer called that pathetic middle path of I can't make up my mind. What Rav Baruch Ber criticized in the name of, so to speak, Eliyahu HaNavi on Har Carmel, Ad Masai. How long is a person going to spend their whole life bouncing back and forth from one side to the other? Writes the Kli Yakar in the 16th century. Kli Yakar passed away in 1619. Kli Yakar writes in source number 11. Ratzisa zu haya sheba overal pesach beis medrash shal shem ve'ever Yaakov mafarches atzis. And Esav would hold them back. And when she would pass the house of Avodah Zarah, Esav was trying to get out and Yaakov would hold them back. And says the Kli Yakar, you know what scared Rivka? Where it's bolded. V'hi savra she'ein hadavar kein ela vlad echad bebitna. She thought this was one very confused child. And now she started to get confused herself about, wait, how many gods are there? Right, if this child, who hasn't even come to the world, right, is drawn in these different directions. So now she says, I need to figure out my own theology. I'm not even sure what I believe. And therefore she says, Lama ze anochi, ki kamoni kashar noshim ov devarazara. She says, Lama ze anochi. Hold on a second. Everyone around me, the home I grew up in, were idol worshippers. Lama ze anochi. So I thought I was starting to chart a different path, but apparently something inside of me is telling me otherwise. It's different, but it's similar to what we spoke about Parshas Bereishis, when the Nachash was trying to confuse Chava. I'd say you have an inner voice and an outer voice, right? A gufan and a shama. So she's listening almost to she's trusting in a certain sense, right? that recognition that the child inside of her has, that, you know, if the baby can almost, you know, naturally, instinctively know to be pulled in these directions, maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, where do I fit in? Maybe I'm just like every other woman who worships the Avodah Zarah in my society. And I was moving towards the world of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and now I'm just not sure what makes me different. So you know what it means? V'teilech lidrosh es Hashem. She went to Eisha Torah, and she said, "I got to learn somewhere. I don't know. I'm very confused." Right? She checked herself into yeshiva, into a seminary, and she said, "I need to learn." V'teilech lidrosh es Hashem. Ratzal lomar lidrosh achar metzias Hashem mamish mau. I need to find out what is Hashem, because this child inside me is really confusing. Of course, the answer was that you have two children inside of you. Not that that's the most comforting answer in the world. We kind of read that pasuk and just nod along. Oh, now everything's fine. Now that I know at least one of my kids is going to be really like a big tzaddik, it's okay if the other one's a complete heretic. Right? That's what it says. Like, oh, don't worry. You don't have nothing to worry about. Oh, you thought it was one confused child? No. You'll have one kid who's going to make it, and you'll have one kid who's off the deck. So, like, not bad, you know? Most families don't have all their kids work out great, so, you know, like, it's good enough, right? But she was scared. What she was scared was, how could there be this one child inside of me that's drawn in different directions? And it caused some of her own, again, her own confusion in her own matters of faith. The Teferes Shlomo, the Radamsky Rebbe, who lives about 200 years after the Kli Yakar, passed away in 1866, the first Rebbe of Radamsk develops this idea of Pichasidus a little bit deeper. And this is really the centerpiece of tonight's shir. This was the piece that got me started on tonight's shir. Vayisro tesu ha-banim bekirba. She doesn't know that it's banim. She thinks it's one very confused child, and that's very frightening. The Rebbe of Radamsk writes, in source number 12, very clear words that should inspire us to make a cheshbon and nefesh. The Radamsk writes where it's bolted. Hine b'parsha zu moralanu ha-Torah kadosha derech ha-yishara la-avodas ha-borei baruch. The Torah in this week's parsha is directing us how to walk the straight path to God. Our name that we're known by is Yisrael, Yashar Kel, straight to Hashem. Sheye be'emes uvetamim, that we should serve Hashem with truthfulness and sincerity, wholesomeness, right? Like Rav Breuer said, to be an ish tam, to be a wholesome person. Tamim tiyam Hashem elokecha. Wholly dedicated to Hashem. V'lo yed darcho derech hafachfach v'zar. Not to be a person who's always flip-flopping one day this way, one day that way. Ad argia lashon shaker. Until I'm always trying to explain away how I ended up this way or that way. And he says, unfortunately, a lot of people live this way. It's not really an option, al pi Torah. Re'ei anochi nosein lefnecha mayom, bracha uklala. Either you're in or you're out. The Svarno on that pasuk in Parshas Re'ei says, what do you mean bracha uklala? Is there nothing in between bracha and klala? Right? It's what Rav Baruch Ber is asking. Is there nothing between the wholesome service of Hashem or worshipping Baal wholeheartedly? And the answer a little bit is, yeah, there sort of is nothing in the middle. The people who strive to be average and to be regular and don't have a clear path or goals and things that they're striving for in this world, it's not really an option. And unfortunately, it's very true in our world today. We can have... Part of what inspired me to change that, I was talking to Justin earlier in the week. I was going to do a different topic this week, but I had a conversation with a student this week. And in a very honest way, and it was with no judgment on my part, I really felt the pain of a person who found himself like trapped between different worlds. Wanting to be a sincere Ben Torah, being pulled in a certain direction by old friends or old challenges that he has in his life, right? And finding himself literally... One day strong in the base medrash, the next day doing things that are terribly, you know, regrettable. But that's the reality of, unfortunately, a world where things are just happening fast. We could one day be our best and the next day be our worst. Kasher nimtza rabim me'am me'aretz, says the Radamsker. There are many Jews, simple Jews. Ki b'shoa sha'osek b'torah u'tfila levavo k'lapid yadar, that when they're learning, when they're davening, they feel very inspired. The moment they walk out of the shir, wow, that was great. I'm very inspired. V'kasher yisayif bo ve'inenu, but with the blink of an eye, it's gone. Ki achar atvila teikav holech b'shrivas libo chomeru misava. The second they get on the train or the bus to work, you know, the second they get to their office, all of a sudden, in the morning, they were learning daf yomi, they were sitting with their fellow Jews, they were davening shachris. They get to the office, and all of a sudden, they're talking, acting in a way that a Jew doesn't act. And they're flip-flopping between the worlds. Says the Rebbe of Radam, this is not a new problem, it's a very old problem. Vayar Elokim esor ki, when Hashem originally created the light, that awesome light that comes back to us each year on the Or HaGanuz, that original supernal light that was hidden away. Vidarshu Chazal. And Chazal said, you know why Hashem had to put away this light? Because there are people who are mixing light with darkness and darkness with light. Chazal explained, She'enenu roi shiyushtamshu or v'achoshech be'erbuvya. Hashem had to put away this light because Hashem wants it to be pristine. He doesn't want it to be mixed, choshech and or altogether. L'chore ein lahavin. Eich shayich lomor or v'achoshech yachavya. What does that mean, says the Radamsker? What does it mean, light and darkness mixed together? What does that even look like? I'm not talking about mixing paint colors, black and white. I'm talking about light and dark. How do you mix light and dark? It's a tarti desasri adodi. It's an utter contradiction. Hashem didn't want people to be osek and light and dark at the same time. When it's day, it's day. When it's night, it's night. Acharem is bezeh. Ki darche ator va'avoda heima romzim la'or. Obviously, while you can't physically blend dark and light, but if light represents Torah and dark represents the Sitra Achra, then yes, if Darche Torah Va'avodah is Or, V'tayvas Ha'olam HaShofel V'hanivza Himdom L'choshech, then yes, in a spiritual sense, you could have people who are Osek in the world of Or and are Osek simultaneously in the world of Choshech. And that's very sad. V'odim Tzarech Lishmor Mizeh Leval Yiyeh Be'ervuvya. And he quotes our pasuk from Eliyahu. You need to guard yourself not to be a confused, mixed up Jew. Like the Pasuk says, or the Gemara says about Achashverosh, he's a Melech HaFachvachan. Achashverosh can't make up his mind. He kills his wife for his friend, he kills his friend for his wife, he can't make up his mind. He's so easily swayed by other people's advice and other people's opinions. And therefore, the Tiferes Shlomo warns us, be careful, be a person who's able to walk in the path of Torah and not to mix together Or V'choshech. So this was the fear of Rivka Imenu. Rivka says, I don't want a child who's going to live his whole life in this utter confusion. And in a certain sense, she was almost happy. Yes, she was almost happy to find out. At least I have two children who know what they want. Halavai, they should both want Torah. But at least each one of them, right, is going for the thing that he's inspired by. Whether it's Torah, whether it's Avodah Zarah, but be sincere about whatever it is that you're going for. And now we come to the challenge of this year. It's a bomb kasha. You ready for the big bomb kasha? The bomb kasha is, right, the deep and profound question I want to ask you is, but most of us are not 100% one way or the other. Right? Meaning, this contradicts our experience in life. So it's very nice, right? Rivka can be very scared of a person getting caught in the world of Or V'choshech, and Hashem could hide the original light. And Eliyahu Navi, that Heliga, you know, Malach of a person, could yell at us, stop being, you know, back and forth. Right? And we can have all these sources that tell us how important it is to be consistent. And you could say that if you try to be a ger and an einikul of Baal Shem Tov, you end up being a nothing. You could scream it as much as you want. At the end of the day, we're Or V'choshech. We're Guf and Neshama. At the end of the day, this is where we are. Stop straddling the fence. Okay? Halavai. Halavai. But most of us are straddling the fence on a certain level, wherever it is. We're straddling the fence. And the Yetzirah Dafka wants to convince us to all of these different Torah that I shared with you tonight, that if you're not going to be 100%, then you're wasting your time. It's an all or nothing proposition. The title of tonight's shiur is The Role of Hypocrisy in Avodas Hashem. Because I said to this student in my office this week, I said, I give you a bracha, you should be a hypocrite. Let me explain what that means. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you're going to do tomorrow night. If right now you want to serve Hashem, you're entitled to serve Hashem. I know it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel contradictory. And it is. And halavai, you should get out of the world of Erbuvia, of Or V'choshech. And halavai, you should respond to Eliyahu Hanavi's scream, Ad Masai, how long are you going to be straddling the fence? Halavai, we should be wholesome, sincere, and absolutely dedicated. Tamim Tiyah Mashem Lokecha. Halavai, that would be great. But in the interim, at least give yourself permission to be a hypocrite. Because you know it's worse, in a certain sense, than yes, Rav Baruch Ber said, it's worse to straddle the fence than better to go completely off the derech. But Mechilas quote Rav Baruch Ber, I don't think he was paskening halacha l'maisa. I think Rav Baruch Ber would say, at the end of the day, if you're going to do 50% mitzvos and 50% of eros, that's obviously better than doing 100% of eros. And therefore, a Jew needs to know. And again, Chassidus that develops these ideas tells us in the clearest of ways that a Jew has to feel comfortable that if I did an Aveira, I'm still entitled to serve Hashem. Ah, it's a contradiction. It's Or V'choshech B'Erbuvia, so what? Don't let the Yetzirah tell us, or tell you, that you've lost your right to serve Hashem. There's no such thing. There's literally no such thing. In one of the most important teachings that I think I've ever seen in any Sefer, an idea from Rav Moshe of Kubrin. It's quoted all the time in the Nesiv HaShalom. He quotes it from the Kubriner. It's found in a volume called Toras Avos in source number 13. Rav Moshe of Kubrin said, look at this line. Mi she'eino yachol u'mesugo. A person who is not able, with confidence, la'amod b'tfila gam achrei she'ovar v'nichshol ba'averos ha'chamuros shematon. The way that this mashal is sometimes brought, you literally just murdered someone and the sword in your hand is still dripping with blood. And now you're deciding, oh shoot, I didn't daven mincha yet. Do you have a right to daven mincha? Right? Imamish just did a big avera, an avera chamura b'Torah. But right now I want to be a Jew. I changed my mind. You know what? Oops. You know what? That wasn't right. Now I want to be a yid. I was just wallowing in the tumah. And now I want to be a kadosh. So the Yitzhar says, oh, now you want to be a kadosh? That's nice. Says Rav Moshe of Kubrin. A Jew is not able to daven a tefillah. Not just to stand up and mumble through the words. To daven with kavana. After you just did a big avera, ulishpoch sicho, and to pour your heart before a kadosh baruch hu, like a child who's begging a father, va'osalo ritzono, says Rav Moshe of Kibrin, look at these words, adayin lo darach afilu al miftana chasidus. You haven't even crossed the threshold of what chasidus is. You don't understand what the Baal Shem Tov was teaching the world. And by the way, in some versions, In some places where it quotes this teaching, it says you haven't even stepped on the threshold. Forget Hasidus. You haven't even crossed the threshold of what it means to be a Jew. You don't know the first thing about Yiddishkeit. Because if you think your Aveira is so bad that now you've lost your right to serve Hashem, then you don't know how much Hashem loves you, then you don't know how much Hashem believes in you, then you don't understand the infinity of your soul, of your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that unbreakable bond between you and Hashem. We don't encourage hypocrisy. But I told that student in my office, I said, better to be a hypocrite for now. Yes, get up in the morning after doing something last night that you didn't feel good about. Get up the next morning and put on your tefillin. And daven with the minyan. And don't mumble through the word. Daven with kavana. You have a right to do so. And Nesiv HaShalom quotes from Rav Avram of Avrich, the Bas Ayin, in Source 15. The Pasuk says in Acharei Mos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shochein Itam B'soch Tumasam. That Hashem dwells amongst us even in our tumah. So you know what the Bas Ayin said? Mi she'eino ma'amin ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu shochein itam b'soch tumasam. If you don't believe Hashem is with you in your lowest moments, then guess what? You're a heretic. You have to believe that Hashem is with you in your tumah, in your state of tumah. You know why? Because it's a pasuk in Chumash. And if you deny that pasuk in Chumash, you're not pikaris. That's some chassidus shofar. It's not some divrei chizuk. Hashochein itam b'soch tumasam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina dwells amongst us even when a Jew finds himself in a state of tumah. We don't like being hypocrites. It doesn't feel good. But a Jew has to believe that at any given moment he has the right to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of my favorite stories, I know I've mentioned in the past, but a writer once stopped Rav Aryeh Levine in the streets of Yerushalayim. Rav Aryeh Levine, the good friend and contemporary of Rav Kook, who passed away in 1969, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. He stopped him in the streets and said, Rav Aryeh, is it true what they say about you? Is it true what they say about you that you're one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim who keeps the world spinning? And Rav Aryeh said such a good answer. Rav Aryeh said, sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. He said, the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim is not a tenured position. You're given the title and until you die, and then they find someone else to take over your chair. He said, the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim is a person who makes a proper choice in that moment and goes beyond what they thought was possible in the service of Hashem. And he said, specifically in thinking about other people, when you stretch yourself out for someone else and you do what's right, you become one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. Ah, a minute ago I was living very differently. That's true. But right now you have the opposite, to serve a Kaddish Baruch. When the Satmar Rebbe came to America, he said he passed by an old school kosher, in quotation marks, butcher shop. Probably wasn't the finest of Hechsher. Certainly not for the Satmar Rebbe. And the Satmar Rebbe said he saw that they had a sign, they had like an electric sign in the window, right? But the electric sign wasn't working so well. It was like flashing on and off a little bit. It was flashing like kosher, and then the light would go off. So he's like, oh, so when the light's on, now it's kosher, now it's not kosher. Now it's kosher, now it's not kosher. Whenever the sign flashes on, so now for that moment, if you buy the meat, it's kosher. When the sign goes off, and the Satmar Rebbe said, yeah, that's probably the quality of the kosher, so the meat over here. And it's like sort of kosher, sort of not kosher. A lot of Jews, sometimes we end up our lives, we're sort of kosher, we're sort of not kosher. Right? Yes, the avoda is to try to be consistent. And Rivka was terrified about that strange mix. But it's okay for a person who's living in that Or and Choshech Birbuvya, it's okay to say, Afal Pichen, I'm going to serve a Kadosh Baruch. We turn to the final source, source 16, Hashem Bishvuel, which again will maybe lead us a little bit closer to Chanukah. Vayihi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chaya. Vayihi Yimei Yaakov. There's a certain singularity to the life of Yaakov. Says the Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Vayechi, Tafresh Ayin Gimel. Yesh ledaktik shayit tzarech lichto vayihiyu. V'nir eshebol arameiz shayu kol yamav b'chad ketira. The life of Yaakov had a singularity to it. Really? Yaakov had a lot of or and a lot of choshech in his life. Yaakov's life was chad ketira. It was one entity. It was one inyan. Like it says about Rishum Bar Yochai in the Zohar, Kol Yomin Diskatrana Bahai Alma Bechar Katira. It was just one long thing. That was the life of Yaakov Avinu. But he explains, yes, it's like the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah says, we make a bracha on the lulav each day because there's a break in between the performance of the mitzvah one day and the next. But the Gemara considers the possibility that by Sukkah there's really no break in the action because Sukkah is a mitzvah by day. And Sukkah is a mitzvah by night. And the Gemara uses the expression, Kaven delo mifsike leilos miyamim, since there's no distinction between day and night when it comes to the Sukkah, kechad yoma arichta damya. It's possible to look in day and night, even though they seem to be so paradoxical, as one thing. The way we talk, right? I could ask you now, nighttime, how is your day? How's your day going? What do you mean day? It's night. But we can look at this as a package, a 24-hour period of day and night, as a yoma arichta, as one inyan. Night, says the Shem Yishmuel, of course, represents the dark times, the tzaros, the times where Hatzlacha runs away from you. And yet Yaakov Avinu was able to what? To attach his nights to his days. Lo ifsiki miyamim, shelo hifsik meavodasu af b'yamei achoshech. That Yaakov, so to speak, kept that light of Avodas Hashem, that light of Ner Mitzvah Torah Or, burning bright, even when what? Even when he was going through the darkest periods. Because Yaakov Avinu was teaching us that a Jew always has the right to serve Hashem. Be a hypocrite. Be a hypocrite. Don't say that your Aveira has taken away the right for you to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he ends with a very powerful mashal. I conclude with this. V'yuvan zeh al pi ma sheshamati. She'omer ha-magid ha-kadosh ha-rebbe Reber. The Magid of Mezrich said, she'afilu chas v'shalom ha-isa mizdamenes lefanav Aveira gedola. That even if a big Aveira came one's way, lo haye nigra me'avodaso davar, it doesn't stop me from being an Eved Hashem. Ki enenu ovid avur atzma rak l'Hashem yisbach. Because if it was about me, so then I feel like I'm a living contradiction. It's not about you. Putting on your tefillin is not about you. Sitting and learning Torah is not about you. It's doing the ratzon Hashem. Va'achas hi lo im yirash gan eden o gehenim. And therefore my job is to do what's incumbent upon me. And don't worry about the scoreboard. Don't worry about I'm in the red, I'm in the black. That's not your business. Your job is to serve Hashem. And he said, I'll explain it with a mashal. He said, V'isbarti al pi mashal le'eved shu meshubet lasos avodas rabo. When you have an eved who's commanded to do the work of his master, v'chota l'rabo at shechoshev l'kabel onesh rabo, and he rebelled against his master. So now what? Because he rebelled against his master, his next move should be what? More rebellion. No, the opposite. The fact that you rebelled, your next move better be that much better. So you did a big aveira. I feel uncomfortable davening mincha now after that big aveira. Or davening ma'ar, or getting up the next morning to daven shachris. No, the opposite. If I rebelled against Hashem, so show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not about me. And get up the next morning and serve your Creator. Like the Eved who wants to show his master that he's still dedicated to him. So this was the fear of Rivka Imenu. I don't want a son who's going to be a hypocrite. And again, we strive over the course of our lifetime to iron out those inconsistencies in our life. But the reality is that very often we're not able to be 100% one way. And therefore, in the interim, we should make sure that we're mechazik ourselves to continue to serve Hashem in whatever capacity we can. Halavai, it should be consistent. But again, to never, God forbid, believe that because of a certain bad choice that a person has made, I've lost my right to serve Avinu Shabbat Shabbat. Good Shabbos. Ma'ariv right now.